When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The U.S. opens a trade dispute with Mexico, what it means for America's relationship with its second largest trading partner.
This fight is happening because Mexico is part of this big free trade agreement with the U.S. and Canada, and that requires countries to open up their markets and also give preferential treatments.
And the race to replace outgoing U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is down to two. Plus, financial forgetfulness is on the rise. How to keep those late fees at bay. It's Wednesday, July 20th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. U.S. home prices continue to reach record highs. The National Association of Realtors says the median existing home price hit an all-time high of $416,000 in June. That new high point comes as the total number of home sales fell 5.4% last month. That's the fifth straight month of declining sales as more buyers are pushed out of the market by higher interest rates. President Biden called climate change a clear and present danger and vowed to take action. He spoke today at a former coal-fired power plant in Massachusetts that will soon support offshore wind energy.
Climate change is an emergency, and in the coming weeks, I'm going to use the power I have as president to turn these words into formal, official government action.
Biden stopped short of declaring climate change a national emergency. Environmental groups have been pressing him to take unilateral action since a Democratic climate funding package died last week due to opposition from West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin. Biden's comments come as a heat wave is set to bring triple-digit temperatures to much of the South Central U.S., including parts of Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. The National Weather Service says excessive heat is forecast through the week in parts of the Northeast and California as well, with more than 100 million Americans affected. In Washington, the First Lady of Ukraine, Olena Zelenska, asked Congress for more support and defensive weapons for her country. Russia's war in Ukraine is nearing the five-month mark, and the U.S. is deploying nearly $40 billion in aid to Ukraine. But that's expected to be fully used up by the end of September. Zelenska noted her visit marks the first time the spouse of a foreign leader has addressed Congress. The UK's Conservative Party has narrowed down its candidates for prime minister to two people, former UK Treasury Chief Rishi Sunak and Foreign Secretary Liz Truss. Now members of the party across the country have until September to pick one of them to replace Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who was ousted by his own party this month after a string of scandals. Speaking today in his final question and answer session in Parliament, he bade lawmakers farewell by quoting the Terminator film.
I want to thank everybody here, and hasta la vista, baby. Thank you.
In business news, Tesla says it earned $2.3 billion in second quarter profit compared to $3.3 billion in the first 3 months of the year. But that still beat analysts' expectations, and the company's stock rose in early after-hours trading. Tesla is the world's largest car company by value. It says COVID-19 restrictions in China and ongoing supply chain problems have limited production. In recent weeks, the company has laid off staff. CEO Elon Musk is embroiled in a legal battle over his $44 billion offer to buy Twitter. And food delivery giants like DoorDash and Uber Eats are seeing slower growth as a pandemic surge tapers off. Market research firm Yipit Data says food delivery orders grew 11% from a year earlier, down from 88% annual growth in the same period of 2020. Our gig market reporter Preetika Rana says the young food delivery sector is facing its first potential recession.
So the big question that analysts are asking is, Do consumers start treating food delivery as a necessity or as a luxury when the times turn? There are some early signs in places outside the US. You know, the UK's Deliveroo recently slashed its full year guidance. They said, you know, we're facing consumer headwinds. So early signs are definitely pointing to a pullback.
You can hear more on how delivery companies are responding on tomorrow morning's episode of our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing. Coming up, the U.S. starts a trade fight with Mexico. How could it play out? We'll discuss after the break.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
It's been about 2 years since the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement replaced the old North American trade deal known as NAFTA. The new deal lays out the ground rules for trade across the continent, and now the U.S. is using that deal to dispute Mexico's energy policy. The U.S. is accusing President Andrés Manuel López Obrador of putting Mexico's state-owned utility and oil company ahead of American businesses. Yuka Hayashi covers trade and the international economy for The Wall Street Journal, and she's with me now. Thanks for being here, Yuka.
Thanks for inviting me.
U.S. officials and businesses have complained since last year that changes in Mexican policies are undermining U.S. companies. What kind of changes are they referring to?
So they have laid out a range of policies that have been introduced, and some of them are pretty significant policy changes. And the specific ones that they highlighted include a change in Mexico's electricity law that caused Mexico to prompt users of electricity to switch from lower cost electricity generated by private companies to electricity made by the state utility firm, CFE. Another one is a change that has made it very difficult for American companies to operate in various parts of Mexico's energy sector, including in renewable energy projects, oil storage, and retail fuel stations. And what has happened was the Mexico implemented various delays, denials, and revocations in the approval of these projects.
So Mexico under López Obrador has taken a lot more control of its local energy market. How is it responding to this challenge from the U.S.?
So their response has been mixed. Earlier in the day, we heard from their economic ministry saying that Mexico wants to find mutually satisfactory solution through consultations. But President López Obrador was pretty dismissive. He said that nothing will happen during a press conference. And he even said, "Ooh, I am so scared." And that is from a popular song in Mexico, and he even played a video of that song played by a musician from his state in front of a room full of reporters.
Mexico is the second largest U.S. trading partner. Last year, there were $665 billion worth of goods exchanged. Does Mexico have a right to control its own energy markets the way its president is trying to do?
Countries do have the rights to control their own energy markets. But in this case, this fight is happening because Mexico is part of this big free trade agreement with the U.S. and Canada. And that requires countries to open up their markets and also give preferential treatments to businesses from the other countries. So the U.S. is saying that Mexico's recent policy changes appear to be violating the terms of the USMCA.
Has this USMCA trade deal faced a dispute this significant before?
This is definitely a very significant case, but this is not the first dispute. In fact, earlier this year, Mexico and Canada requested the establishment of a dispute settlement panel over the interpretation by the U.S. of rules of origin for the auto industry.
This is also a clash of personalities between President Biden and Mexico's leader, López Obrador. Remember last month, López Obrador boycotted Biden's Summit of Americas in California. How does this trade dispute impact that relationship?
We have seen some rises in tension between the two countries. Since Mr. López Obrador came to power, he's a leftist nationalist leader, and the two countries have fought over trade and energy and even about WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange and how he should be extradited to the U.S.
What's next after the U.S. files this dispute?
The rules of USMCA require the two countries to have consultations within 30 days. And if those consultations don't lead to a resolution, the U.S. could request the establishment of a panel made up of experts. And if that doesn't lead to a resolution, then the U.S. might consider imposing import tariffs on a range of Mexican products to offset the damage suffered by the U.S. companies.
That's the Wall Street Journal's Yuka Hayashi. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, we've all got a lot on our minds these days. Inflation, volatile markets, record-breaking temperatures, and all these stressors are causing a lot of us to forget to pay our bills. In a recent survey by WalletHub, people cited forgetting as the top reason they would miss a credit card payment this year, ahead of being unable to afford payments. So what can you do to prevent your financial obligations from slipping your mind? Our personal finance reporter, Veronica Dagger, spoke with behavioral economists about it. Their tips include making use of some psychological tricks. One of them is called anchoring.
So, for example, if you know your water bill is due on a Saturday and that's the day you go to yoga, you could try to link the two things together. You could say, when I fill my water bottle for yoga, I'll remember to pay the water bill. So linking something you need to remember with something that's already in your long-term memory creates that anchor and can be pretty powerful.
You can get more tips on how to not forget to pay those important bills on today's episode of our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.